Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, you just heard a report there on another news story from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio. Jeff Manasso is going to be with us here in just a second. There was, another news. We're gonna have plenty of time this morning. Don't worry to take your phone calls later in the morning. Get your reactions to the State of the Union address that President Trump delivered last night. I know it's not an official State of the Union. It's a joint address, but people get the point. Anyway, yeah, we're going to have plenty of time here coming up over, especially in the 8 and 9 o'clock hours, to get your reactions, take your phone calls to the State of the Union address last night. I'll definitely try to sneak some in here later this hour of the show as well. But Jeff Manasso is covering, there was a congressional hearing focused on aviation safety. And Jeff Manasso is covering that for us. He's going to join us live here in just a few minutes to talk about it. More reactions coming in on the Montana Talks app as well. Sean in Shelby mentioned this with regard to President Trump last night talking about the price of eggs and how, you know, the decisions and the actions by Joe Biden did lead to a massive increase in the price, well, A, of everything, but B, of eggs in particular. Sean says the Department of Agriculture under Biden slaughtered millions of chickens on nothing but speculation of bird flu. I suspect intentionally to create a shortage. Also, why does Al Green, you know, the Democrat congressman who was standing up and yelling at Trump during his speech and then got thrown out, why does he have a cane? He didn't use it to walk out of last night's America rally. I like it. Instead of a State of the Union address, instead of a joint address to Congress, this was an America rally last night on Capitol Hill. Andy in Whitefish says, I like the Libby Disneys way better than the woke Disneys. I concur, Andy. If you haven't gotten a chance to meet the Disney family in Libby, Montana, they are great people. I've gotten to meet them a few times over the years, and we just saw them in Libby last summer during an event that we did there. Let me play one more quick highlight here from President Trump's remarks last night. Well, first off, here was the opening statement, which really says it all.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back.
And you can feel it, can't you? America is back. America is coming back. That was basically the opening line of President Donald J. Trump. And then for the next 10, 15 minutes, the Democrats just kept trying to interrupt him the entire time. This was another great line from the president last night.
The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation. We must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
Yeah, remember last year when flip-flop, flat-top John Tester was campaigning with that same phony talking point and the liberal media backed him up? Didn't work for him either, did it?
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine in the area today, highs range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. For tonight, increasing clouds with some snow showers possible late in the Bozeman area. Low temperature readings from the mid to upper 20s. That will see snow showers on Thursday. That will see snow showers on Thursday with up to around an inch possible in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
It's March 5th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Cheese Doodle Day. I think we're all aware of this little snack which turns our fingers orange, but we still can't put them down. There remains a great deal of debate surrounding who may have actually invented cheese doodles, but one thing is not up for debate: how much people love them. Whether baked, crunchy, or fried, 15 million pounds are made each year. Also on this date, in 1770, the Boston Massacre took place. Widely considered the first conflict on the road to the American Revolution, British soldiers fired into a crowd of colonists who were pelting them with snowballs, ice, and rocks. Five colonists were killed by the British Redcoats, including African-American Crispus Attucks, who was the first to be killed and is considered the first casualty in the War for Independence. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin, born in 1966. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
All right, let's put this phony talking point to bed once and for all. Deporting illegal aliens is not racist. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's my latest rant in response to just some of the absurd left-wing comments that I've seen on some of the social media sites out there. You can check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. And oh, by the way, if it's so racist to deport illegal aliens, then why did Hispanics support Trump in such a big way?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into it. We've got Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio on the phone lines with us. There was an aviation safety hearing that took place in Congress already, as I understand it. And we'll get back to more highlights from President Trump's speech, get to your phone calls and more here later this hour. And then, of course, we've got the 8 and 9 o'clock hours taking you statewide as well. But Jeff Manasso, thanks for being with us. Appreciate your time this morning.
You bet. Good to be with you, Aaron. So President Trump did take up, maybe in a small way, aviation safety when he talked about DEI policies and how that's plagued the air industry, the FAA, and others. And so the White House, the House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation, they held a hearing yesterday and following multiple plane accidents and near collisions. And Heather Krause, she's the managing director of Physical Infrastructure and Government Accountability Office, she says that in each of four critical programs within the FAA, it missed many critical milestones, some by months and others by years. And those critical programs involve modernizing navigation and communication system, something you would think would be pretty important within the air industry. And so this hearing just a month after that deadly crash in Washington, and also calls by President Trump for the overhaul of air traffic control and the Federal Aviation Administration, and the White House's request to Congress that they provide hundreds of millions of dollars, about $900 million in extra funding for the FAA so that it can maintain air traffic services and aviation safety oversight.
Yeah, the fact that the FAA is using outdated technology or communication systems is just crazy to me. I mean, and I know Elon Musk is trying to work on this as well, because, I mean, he literally sends people to space. Right. And so if he can figure out how to send people to space and communicate with people in space and try to help get our astronauts back, we can figure out how to help the FAA communicate better as well. And then did I hear in this same hearing, what did they talk about, though? Is it 3,600 air traffic controllers short? We're short 3,600 air traffic controllers, but yet, you know, they pushed all these woke DEI mandates and prevented people from coming online as air traffic controllers in the last administration.
Yeah, so about 11,000 air traffic controllers right now employed. Were they DEI hires? Maybe. So that was also brought up. And so, you know, but experts suggest, as you mentioned, that they're way low by about 3,600. And this has been for years. That they've been way low on their staffing count, and amid this lawsuit that's ongoing by thousands and thousands of qualified air traffic controllers that were denied because they were white, and so we'll see what happens in the long term, but in the short term, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy and Elon Musk have suggested at least bring back retired air traffic controllers and raise the mandatory retirement age so they can mitigate some shortages. And senators on both sides have also called for an increase in funding of the agency. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know if you were to do a poll, of the public and ask, would you be okay with Elon Musk updating our transportation, communication systems? Democrats have said they don't want him touching it, but I have a sneaking suspicion that most people will be like, yeah, he can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think if anybody can figure it out, it's probably Elon Musk. Yeah, exactly. The other thing that's interesting is, you know, the Democrats were trying to make it sound like, oh, look, Donald Trump's only been in office 4 weeks, and look at all these aviation incidents. I think it was Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy. They actually ran the numbers, and there were more aviation incidents in the first 4 weeks of Joe Biden compared to Donald J. Trump. But nonetheless, I think people are really concerned. I mean, we saw a bunch of near misses under Pete Buttigieg when he was Transportation Secretary. They were focused on other things. They were focused on the wrong things. They were kicking people to the curb they shouldn't have kicked to the curb. And they were, but either way, I mean, I think the numbers show, no matter what the numbers say, clearly the American people are concerned that we've had, you know, some problems in the aviation industry that are certainly bubbling up to the surface.
Especially those of us who are you know, flying in the near future. We do have those concerns, but Committee Chairman, Missouri Republican Sam Graves, you know, said yesterday that, you know, the hearing topic really should not come as a surprise to anyone. I don't think it does, but that our nation's air traffic control system is outdated and it must be modernized for the benefit and safety of all users of the national airspace system. So hopefully they'll get to work.
All right. Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio. Appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
You bet.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but like, hey, trips, you know, trips are fun, you know, taking a flight here or there, that can be fun. But I want to look out my window of my camper, and then I want to get out in the great Montana outdoors. But speaking of windows, boy, have we got a deal for you on windows right now. YHIC, your home improvement company. Right now, they've got an unbeatable deal, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. You can get energy-efficient triple-pane windows with easy financing, 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. We live in Montana. You want a good view with better windows. YHIC, your home improvement company. You're going to love the difference. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. And again, 0 down, 0 interest, 0 payments for 12 months. And you can get 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. But it appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Most noteworthy thing about President Trump's speech to Congress last night was the atrocious behavior of the Democrats, who were hooting and hollering, Al Green shaking his cane at the president, getting evicted. But it was interesting that Trump said no matter what he did, the Democrats would never applaud him, since Republicans have sat on their hands during many Democratic presidential speeches. He talked about the country being woke no more. He talked about inheriting an inflation nightmare, not doing that much about it so far. He finally got around to the Doge budget cuts and rattled off lots of examples. He said he would balance the budget. He's not even come close, especially with his pitch for tax cuts and no tax on Social Security benefits. And then he sung the praises of tariffs and the tariff war he's unleashed, although that may get softened as early as today. Successful speech because he controls everything in this city. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
How 529 plans can help you to save for college. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
Saving for college?
Each state has a 529 plan, at least one.
CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says these are state plans.
Remember, it's deductible on the state tax return. It's not deductible on the federal tax return.
Zellin says the rules and the amount you're allowed to put away are different for each state.
If you go to savingforcollege.com, there's a clickable map that has a list of all of the 529 plans.
And many do offer a tax deduction. Jenny Coselda, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, the ag economy's financial state was a key topic in Denver, a commodity classic. In late 2024, Congress approved $10 billion in economic aid and $20 billion in disaster relief for agriculture. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins announced at the classic the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program to distribute the funds, with applications set to open by March 20th. Big Sandy farmer and treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers, Nathan Kane, weighed in.
You know, when that rolled out, the $10 billion, it was appropriated, and then it was a 90-day window from when it was put in place in the, towards the end of December to when it should be rolled out. Well, we were waiting for the new secretary to be put in place to be able to actually, you know, head up the department and get this rolled out. Now, listening to her, she thinks in the next, you know, 2-3 weeks, we should be able to see that. As far as prices go, we are looking at, and I can't tell you specifically, it's around the a little over $38 range per acre for wheat. I do know for Montana, overall, including all commodities, we're going to average for the state of Montana around $28 per acre.
Yep.
And that's all commodities. But for wheat, it's something around $38.60 or something like that per acre.
And again, that was Big Sandy's Nathan Kane, the treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers. From Denver, I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, you guys know I loved President Trump's speech last night. I know many of you guys loved President Trump's speech last night, but what about the rest of the country? What did they think about the speech last night? CNN apparently took a poll. CNN did a poll. 69% of Americans had a positive reaction to President Trump's speech. 69% of Americans with a positive reaction to President Trump's speech last night. Now, I don't know if CNN asked in that same poll what their reaction was of the Senate and congressional Democrats and their childish antics last night, but I bet the numbers might be quite opposite. Let's see. Here is Texas Senator Ted Cruz. I think he was on with Sean Hannity after President Trump wrapped up his remarks.
This was fantastic. Tonight was incredible. This is the fifth State of the Union address I've seen Trump give. It was by far his best. We're just over a month into it, and he had a litany of victories that we've already won, one after the other after the other. Listen, I thought he was joyful. I thought he was forward-looking. I thought he had the promise of America front and center. And I got to say, the contrast, I have never seen such a disgraceful display as the Democrats put on. I've been to 13 State of the Union addresses altogether since I've been in the Senate. I've been to every one. I've never missed one. It started from the moment he walked in and was introduced, the President of the United States. Not a single Democrat stood, not a single Democrat applauded, not one. I've never seen that happen. Every time Joe Biden walked into that chamber and they introduced him as the President of the United States, I stood my butt up and I clapped. Every time Barack Obama walked in, I stood up and clapped. Even when I couldn't stand their policies, even when I was horrified at what they were doing, I respect the office of the President of the United States and I respect the American people. The contempt those Democrats had, they wouldn't stand, as you noted, for the mom of Jocelyn Nungery. They wouldn't stand for Lake and Riley's family. They wouldn't stand for the 13-year-old kid who survived brain cancer. They didn't stand for the young man whose father was a slain police officer, whom Trump admitted to West Point in the middle of the speech. They wouldn't stand for him. Even the Joint Chiefs applauded to the kid going to West Point. But you know what? The speaker got something slightly wrong. He said there was nothing they applauded for and stood for. That's not correct. There was one thing the entire night they applauded for, that we sent hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine. And they all stood and cheered that we sent money to Ukraine, but they will not applaud for America. I found it horrifying. More than once, I turned to the folks next to me and said, what the hell is wrong with these?
What has... Yeah, lawless Democrats and their lawlessness. They allowed this invasion on our southern border. The lawlessness was on full display last night with their repeated antics, especially that Congressman Al Green standing up and waving his cane around and yelling at the president in the middle of the speech until he was finally forced out by the sergeant at arms called on by the Speaker of the House. But then also the heartlessness was on display. Do you guys ever remember the quote? I remember a quote because I shared this quote at a Pachyderm Club meeting in Missoula about 20 plus years ago. Because, man, I tell you what, I had some great classmates at the University of Montana who were freedom fighters, who were, you know, working on political campaigns, getting involved on campus, pushing back at the far left back then. And I shared the quote. You guys know the quote. It's, Now, of course, I'm spacing it, but it goes something to the effect of if you're something about the fact that if you're not liberal when you're young, you don't have a heart. If you're not conservative when you're old, you don't have a mind. And I use that quote to actually make a different point that just because these young conservatives on the University of Montana campus back then had minds and could use their minds and supported good policies and didn't just fall for whatever the young people would always fall for. They didn't just fall for whatever some liberal professor was trying to shove down their throats. That just because they had a mind didn't mean that they didn't have a heart. They had heart. They had minds. The Democrats last night showed that they have neither. They have zero common sense. They embraced the lawlessness and the invasion of illegal aliens on our southern border. And then they showed their heartlessness last night as well. Congresswoman Lisa McClain is the chair of the House Republican Conference. She said this: tonight, Democrats did not stand for hardworking families, unleashing American energy and lowering costs, extending the tax cuts and lowering taxes, victims of violent illegal aliens, Lake and Riley, victims of online deep fakes, a 13-year-old cancer survivor, a biological girl severely injured by a biological man in a girls volleyball match, bringing investments and jobs back to the United States, rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse, a high school student accepted into the U.S. Military Academy, removing killers, rapists, and drug dealers from our communities, safer communities, a 95-year-old mother and her son who was detained in Russia and sentenced to... Anyway. Here we go. Here's the audio. Rapid Response 47. That's the X account for the Trump White House to respond, to fake news talking points, or at least have the ability to get their message out. But, yeah, the Democrats showed last night and cemented it that they are completely out of their minds. Completely out of their minds. But they also showed that, hey, here's the thing. Like, some of our old school liberal friends, you know, sometimes they just don't think things through. They just react to everything. They do have big hearts. They're well-meaning. But they just don't understand that, well, if you do this over here, you might think you're helping this group of people, but you're also at the same time harming this group of people. It's like your liberal friend that thinks, oh, yeah, let's just help all these people come to this country. And so they have no problem with the invasion on our southern border. Some of those people have good hearts and they think they're helping people. But see, they don't realize that they're actually harming people all across Montana, especially on our reservations. Native American women that are being targeted by the drug cartels. Kids that are dying from fentanyl and meth. Entire families that are being destroyed. But to these, you know, to the nice old school liberals, they think, oh, we're just helping people. Or it's, yay, open borders. When the policies they're supporting are killing people and destroying families and destroying communities. But these congressional Democrats and these legislative Democrats that embrace these open border policies, they know exactly what they are doing. They are not only out of their minds, but they are heartless. And the Democrats who sat on their hands last night and couldn't even stand up for Jocelyn Nungery, a young teenage girl who was sexually assaulted and murdered by Venezuelan Trende Aragua gang members. Her mom was in that gallery last night. All Trump did was he named a wildlife refuge in Galveston, Texas, after this young lady who was brutally murdered and assaulted by these illegal alien criminal gang members. Her mom is there. She lost her daughter. And I think maybe one Democrat stood up in honor of that mother. Listen to what Alexis Nungaray had to say last night. I think she was on with Hannity as well.
If they can't stand and applaud you and stand up for the right of innocent people like your daughter, what does that party stand for? I found it repulsive.
They don't stand for anything humane. They don't stand for us as citizens. They don't stand for our security. They don't stand for honorable things that we need in this country, and it's very disgraceful to us as U.S. citizens that those are the people that we have here in Congress and House and Senate. It's disgusting.
Yeah, they couldn't even stand for her young female volleyball player who was partially paralyzed after she got hit by a transgender volleyball player. Now, of course, Democrats aren't going to stand for her.
Darnell.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We had a message come in on the Montana Talks app from a listener in the Flathead regarding the ICE raid in Big Fork. The company that hired the illegals needs to be exposed and punished. Otherwise, they will likely just replace them with more illegals. That's a big story. I'm going to talk more about that story coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. I think that was kind of the biggest story in Montana news yesterday. 17 illegal aliens busted on a job site in Big Fork, Montana. Yeah, right there. Right there on the edge of Flathead Lake. I think I was the first to actually break this news. I noticed at least one or two other outlets did a news story later in the day, but we were the first to cover this story at MontanaTalks.com. Acting on a tip, U.S. Border Patrol and ICE just arrested 17 illegal aliens at a job site in Big Fork, Montana. And we've got photos of those arrests on our Montana Talks website right now, and more information. So anyway, we'll get to that more coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Right now, we've got phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Of course, we've been covering a few different topics here this morning, and of course, playing a lot of the highlights from President Trump's joint address to Congress last night as well. And man, we've got a lot more ground to cover on that front. I think what I want to, maybe I'll save this one for the 9 o'clock hour of the show since we have so much to get to here this morning. One of my favorite moments, you know, we've talked a little bit about the heartwarming moments, and certainly the most heartwarming moment of the entire night was when that young man, dressed up in a police uniform who survived brain cancer. They told him he only had 5 years to live. He survived brain cancer. He loves law enforcement. He's been named an honorary police officer by many different police, by many different, police departments across the country. The most heartwarming moment of the entire address last night was President Trump announces from the podium that they are going to make this young man, DJ Daniel, I believe was his name, they are going to make him an honorary Secret Service agent. And his dad holds him up, you know, lifts him up in the gallery as the crowd was cheering for him. And again, maybe one Democrat stood up during that moment, but the Democrats were still sitting there, I don't know, checking their Snapchat, whatever the heck they were doing, holding up their stupid little signs. They couldn't even stand up for this young man. But then at that moment, Sean Curran, do you guys know who Sean Curran is? Remember when Donald J. Trump took that bullet and survived the assassin's bullet in Butler, Pennsylvania? Sean Curran was the head of his security detail. Sean Curran is one of the, you know, the most recognizable Secret Service agents in that photograph as they immediately, you know, tackled the president and got him to the ground and then surrounded him, you know, 360 so they could get him back to the vehicle. And when President Trump stood and raised his fist in the air and yelled, fight, 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 and you could see the blood dripping down from his ear, Sean Curran is one of the recognizable faces in that photo. Well, he is now named Sean Curran as the Secret Service Director to run the whole organization. Sean Curran then appears in the House gallery and walks down to this young man and hands him his credentials as an honorary Secret Service agent. And that little 13-year-old boy gave just the coolest hug ever to Sean Curran. I mean, he just reached up, grabs this tough, stoic Secret Service agent, wraps his arm around the guy and pulls him in. And somebody said it last night. They said, man, this is probably the first time they've ever seen Sean Curran actually smile, because I think it was Brian Kilmeade earlier this morning was making that point, because Sean Curran, you know, Secret Service agent, it's like no reaction whatsoever. You know, it's poker face all day, every day, because you're responsible for the security of the president of the United States. It's so, like so many law enforcement officers, is there's no reaction, just stoic the whole time. But anyway, that was a remarkable, so many other remarkable moments. But yeah, Mark Fogel, Senator Steve Daines talked about this. Mark Fogel spent years stuck in a Russian jail cell, wrongfully jailed by the Russians. He spent years in that Russian jail cell. And speaking of Butler, Pennsylvania, President Trump met Mark Fogel, met his mother earlier that day in Butler, Pennsylvania, and he promised her that he would bring her son home. And of course, President Trump brought her son home. And there was Mark Fogel, who's got a sister in Missoula, Montana, by the way. There was Mark Fogel and his mother up there in the gallery. Could these heartless Democrats even stand up for him and his mom? Of course not. Of course not. That's how cheap and petty these people are. Look, I get it. Oh, they don't like Donald Trump. They don't want to stand up for Donald Trump. Well, you know what? As Ted Cruz pointed out, he didn't like Obama's policies. He didn't like some of these other Democrat president policies, but he still showed up and stood up when the president of the United States entered the gallery. But these people who allowed this illegal alien invasion of our country, who gave billions of dollars against America's interests to all these other countries. And that's what we're going to get into in the 9 o'clock hours, the wasteful spending that DOGE is shutting down that President Trump outlined last night. These Democrats who allowed this heartless invasion of our country, who gave money to support gender mutilation programs, genital mutilation programs in Africa. We used to have, State Department folks go out and discourage genital mutilation in places like Africa. The Democrats were giving millions of dollars to promote genital mutilation in the name of their radical transgender agenda. I mean, they not only proved that they have lost their minds, but again, they have proved that they are completely heartless as well. Let's see. I know I've got another great soundbite from the speech last night on that front as well. Oh, here we go. We'll get into the wasteful spending outlined by President Trump, because it truly was some outrageous stuff that he outlined last night. And we've already heard about a lot of outrageous stuff, but President Trump added to the list last night. When it comes to the radical transgender agenda, President Trump had such a great line on that topic in general. And remember, the legislative Democrats in Helena, Montana right now in the Capitol, they are just as crazy as the California Democrats. They are just as crazy as the congressional Democrats. They are still fully stepping down on the gas pedal, supporting this radical transgender agenda.
I want Congress to pass a bill permanently banning and criminalizing sex changes on children and forever ending the lie that any child is trapped in the wrong body. This is a big lie. And our message to every child in America is that you are perfect exactly the way God made you. Because we're getting wokeness out of our schools and out of our military, and it's already out, and it's out of our society. We don't want it. Wokeness is trouble. Wokeness is bad. It's gone. It's gone. And we feel so much better for it, don't we? Don't we feel better?
So, yeah, President Trump with a great message there. To children all across America, you are perfect the way God made you. We've got some people in some of our public schools in Montana. They've had cases in Missoula in particular where grown adults are talking to your kids about sex, talking to your kids about gender identity. They're not telling your kids, you know what, you are perfect the way you are made. Don't let anybody else bully you and tell you anything otherwise. No, instead, you've got grown-ass adults telling kids in public schools, hey, yeah, you know what? You were born in the wrong body. Yeah, you know what? Hey, you should probably chop that thing off, or you should probably take some of these drugs. But hey, don't worry. I'm not going to tell your parents about this. That one of the bills in before the Montana legislature right now would simply require public schools to tell parents, hey, your kid is has been talking to, you know, this teachers or counselors or whatever, not social workers, just counselors, you know, counselors that should be telling you, hey, maybe you should go to career, a trade school. Maybe you should go to college. These aren't social workers, but instead they're anyway, this bill would require schools to tell parents about gender identity discussions. And of course, the Democrats don't want that. They want grown ass adults talking to your kids about sex and everything else.
NCEO, high five!
Dave can't stop celebrating with every business owner in town.
All right, Baker Man, high five!
He's sharing the excitement of big savings with the Comcast Business 5-year price lock guarantee.
Ooh, up top, bike shop!
Yeah! It's 5 years of gig speed internet.
Quick, high five!
5 years of advanced security.
5 years!
And 5 years of a great rate that won't change.
Yeah, law partners! Chamberlain, Bessemport, Dubois.
All from the company with 99.9% network reliability. Switch today and get the 5-year price lock guarantee.
5 years!
It's back, but only for a limited time.
Woo!
Powering 5 years of savings, powering possibilities. Comcast Business.
Can't forget you, voiceover guy.
Ah, thanks, Dave.
High five!
Ends 3/9/25. Guaranteed rate applies to monthly service charge for new customers on qualifying internet bundle, excluding taxes and fees. Other restrictions apply.
News commentary.
Democrats selected moderate Senator Slotkin of Michigan to deliver the response to the president's joint session address, but make no mistake, their party is as woke as ever. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's the Will Cain Show.
Russian, Ukrainian, European, but most importantly, he says, American stockpiles, resources, and security on bad footing. Given that, we recognize reality and we pursue peace. This is a fascinating restructure of the global political landscape that many are having trouble keeping up with, as I think J.D. Vance and Donald Trump remake America.
Get the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Democrats have shown us in the last month they are the party of war, the party of the patriarchy, the party of bureaucracy, big government, and the status quo. For them to squeal so loudly about Doge cuts is for them to basically admit they love big bloated government and they don't want to reform it. They think the way it's been done for the last 25 plus years is good enough, and that doesn't resonate with real America. But they're really hoping that moderate freshman Senator Slotkin of Michigan will do it for them in tonight's response to the president. Sure, she won a swing district that Trump also won, and she's urged her party to not rely so heavily on identity politics, so by their standards, I guess she's a moderate. Well, for the sake of our two-party system, I hope she resists the urge to lie about and obsess over President Trump and Elon Musk and her address, but I'm not going to hold my breath. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine in the area today, highs range from the lower 40s in Bozeman to around 50 in Billings. For tonight, increasing clouds with some snow showers possible late in the Bozeman area. Low temperature readings from the mid to upper 20s. That will see snow showers on Thursday. That will see snow showers on Thursday with up to around an inch possible in Bozeman. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Under threat, it's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
There are some rules you must adhere to when it comes to having a home office. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
If you have a home office, the space has to be used exclusively for work purposes. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says,
we're using a spare bedroom as your home office, and occasionally your mother-in-law comes to visit and sleeps in the bedroom. That disqualifies the place as your home office.
The other requirement
is that it has to be used predominantly as your home office. You don't have any other space to use.
Now the IRS offers a simplified method where you can deduct a flat rate per square foot, but it's only available for self-employed individuals. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you right now, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I think we had some more messages come in, so I'll have to check in on those as well here in just a second. Here we go. Tim in Savage. Do billionaires like Musk really want my money? And Tim in Savage says that is today's All for Pete's Sake moment. That is today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment. Tim and Savage, thanks for that message. Let's go back into the phone lines now. And by the way, the full 9 o'clock hour today, our full statewide hour, we're going to have open phones so we can get your reactions and we can get reactions from people all across Montana. And you'll be heard all across Montana as well, from Plentywood to Missoula in that 9 o'clock hour especially. Kat is in eastern Montana on the phone lines right now. Kat, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hi, Aaron. Thank you for taking my call. I wept during that State of the Union address yesterday. Last night it was so great. But I was calling in because there was a Supreme Court ruling that just came out, ruling that our USAID foreign funding must continue. Okay, first of all, that is just That's wrong, and it's disappointing. And should I stop paying taxes so I stop fueling both sides of a foreign war? Number two, the Valley neighbors in the Flathead Valley have been funneling illegals into Big Fork, Kalispell, Whitefish, Columbia Falls, the whole nine yards. I've been reporting about this just like you since back in March. So there being some illegals in Big Fork doing construction is not a surprise. And then we have the anti-Semitic college campus in Georgetown, you know, hating on Jews. We've got men and women's sports. The whole thing that ties this all together, the common factor is, do we have to wait until something catastrophic happens to a woman or to on the streets in Big Fork where there's crime or these a Jew dying on Georgetown campus before we can say finally enough is enough? So that's how all of those ties in to me together. So anyways, Aaron, I just wanted to bring those topics up. I hope you have a great day, and God bless you.
Hey, you too. No, thanks for the call. And, of course, those bad things that Kat just referred to have already happened. We have seen Jewish people in America viciously murdered by these radical anti-Semitic leftists, right? Even in Montana, we have already seen horrible things happen to young women in Montana as a result of this invasion of illegal aliens. Like, you know, she raised a good question, which is like, what horrible thing has to happen before some folks finally wake up? And those horrible things have already happened. And Democrats have made it clear that they do not care, that they don't care. You had, remember the Afghan asylee who was arrested for allegedly raping a young 18-year-old woman that he met down at the bars in Missoula, college town of Missoula. And then college town of Bozeman, you've had multiple instances where, you know, illegal aliens basically accused of raping young women in Bozeman. Not to mention all the crimes that we've heard about, the arrest of Trinde Aragua members and things like that, right? These awful things have and then you got the transient crisis and the invasion of transients. I mean, you had the transient rape, allegedly rape a young woman. It is transient encampment. And so these awful things have already happened and have already been happening, which is why it just proves that Democrats here in Montana, not just in Congress, are heartless when it comes to these issues.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
AI has already arrived in the economy, as many of us know from firsthand experience. It appears to be arriving in the job market in ways that not everyone has appreciated, because the job growth experienced by the economy in the last 18 months has become a lot more hollow than it was earlier in the post-COVID expansion. Higher-paying manufacturing, corporate, finance, and information jobs made up about a quarter of all net new jobs created in the national economy up through mid-2023. But since that time, hiring has basically stopped. In the last 18 months, 20% of net new jobs have been government jobs, especially local government. The pattern is consistent with the individual stories of big tech companies like Meta, which have made significant headcount reductions and say they are planning more. Those same companies are announcing huge spending on data centers to serve the demands of AI. Are those ambitious plans pushing spending away from employee headcounts? And is AI that following allowing those headcount reductions to happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.